According to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And all those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The miracle of compassion. When Jesus heard the news of John's death, he heard the news of the death of a dear family member. John was his cousin. He heard the news of the death of a man who had baptized him, under whose hand he had placed himself. John was the baptizer. He heard the news of the one who had proclaimed him and his coming. John was the one who went before Jesus to prepare the way. Jesus heard about the death of the man whose message Jesus had taken up. For John was the first one who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And after his baptism, Jesus took those same words and that same message and carried it on. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." When Jesus hears that John is beheaded, he is stricken with grief. He is overcome by emotion, so much so that he needs to withdraw. This isn't the only time or the first time that Jesus withdraws. Every now and then in his ministry, Jesus retreats. He goes on retreat to a mountain to pray, to recharge, to reconnect with God, to pray, to restore himself, to contemplate the work that he has done thus far and what he has left to do. And so when he hears about John being beheaded, he goes to do this work. And maybe it's because he's by himself, or maybe it's because he's been stricken by grief, but he doesn't go very fast. He gets in a boat and just sort of floats out onto the Sea of Galilee, just floating on the sea of water and grief. Now, the crowds that have been following Jesus, they don't really understand Jesus. They don't quite get what Jesus is up to just yet. They know that Jesus is the person that they go to if they have no other hope left, if they've tried all the other sources for their problems and come up lacking, they go to Jesus. "Jesus, I need you to heal me. I've been visiting physicians for 12 years, and they've done nothing. Can you do it?" These are the kinds of people that come to Jesus. And they see Jesus out on the water. They know he's going over to that place over there where he goes sometimes all to be by himself. And the crowds start walking. And because Jesus is just floating adrift on the sea of grief, the crowds get there first. And so when Jesus finally comes ashore, there they are. The crowds. Crowds are there to greet him. The exact people that Jesus was trying to get away from. And Jesus has compassion for them. Jesus heals their sick. Jesus ends up feeding them. There is a miracle at work here, but not just one. There's actually multiple miracles in our story. There's the miracle of Jesus feeding these 5,000 plus women plus children, these 10,000 or more, with five loaves and two fish. There is the miracle of him teaching his disciples that instead of seeing a situation of scarcity, that there is an opportunity for abundance and generosity. And indeed, Jesus feeds these people so that all are fed and that there's actually food left over. Because the disciples came to him and they saw all the people there and they said, Jesus, we got to send them away. We don't have food to feed them. And you come out here to this deserted place where there's no food to buy. So we have a problem and it needs solved. And Jesus is able to see a way through to solve it. But without the first miracle of that day, I don't think the second miracle, which was Jesus healing all the people, or the third miracle, which was Jesus feeding all the people, could have ever happened. And that first miracle is compassion. When Jesus goes ashore, he sees a great crowd and he has compassion for them. And remember, Jesus is grieving. Those of you who have experienced grief, which is probably nearly every single one of us in this room, knows what a consuming and taxing emotional experience that can be. Especially when it's the grief of someone near and dear to us. Grief consumes us. We feel tired for no reason when we're grieving because our energies are so expended. It's hard to think clearly when we're grieving. It's hard to act how we should want to act. Sometimes grieving just swallows us up and we feel adrift on the sea of it. But Jesus, even though he is grieving, still comes and still sees these people and still has compassion for them. Compassion is a situation, an emotional response that requires empathy. Empathy, which is the feeling of another person's feelings, the attempt to understand what another person is experiencing. And though grief is this all-consuming experience, Jesus still finds room in his divine heart to make space for the feelings of others. And he doesn't just feel what they feel. He doesn't just understand their hunger and their need, because even the disciples do that. The disciples have empathy. They understand that the people are getting hungry. They see the situation that there is no place for them to buy food. They understand and they are feeling this feeling of hunger. Maybe because their own bellies are beginning to grumble, it makes it a little easier to understand what they're going through. But Jesus takes the disciples' empathy one step further and has compassion, which is not just feeling what they're feeling, not just endeavoring to understand their emotional situation, but trying to do something about it. trying to relieve that suffering. Compassion is at the end of this line of emotions that we feel when we see someone in suffering. Sometimes the first thing we feel is the experience of pity, which is seeing somebody in suffering and saying, well, yeah, I kind of feel sorry for them. That sucks. It's an understanding that their situation is bad and kind of ending there. No caring involved. Maybe the next step would be sympathy, where you see someone suffering and you don't just feel sorry for them, but you actually care about their suffering. Empathy would be the next step closer, where you not only care that they are suffering, don't just want to send them a card to make them feel better, but now you actually try to understand their suffering. Maybe you engage them in conversation. Perhaps you begin to feel a bit of what they feel. Compassion goes all the way. And it takes those feelings of empathy, of trying to understand what they're going through, and then attempting to relieve that suffering. Compassion is hard. It's hard when we have our own emotions, our own things that we do, because we want someone to care about us. We want someone to care about what our feelings are. We want someone to show compassion for us. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own negative feelings and the experience of our own suffering that we forget that others are suffering too. For which one of us could truly say that we have never suffered? The disciples had empathy. Jesus had compassion. Kind of like the story of a father and a daughter and the poor man. Father and his daughter were walking down along the pathway by the creek. And they saw the poor man, who they had known, who lived in their community, who they had known he was out working all day. And he was resting his tired feet in the water, his shoes up on the bank. The water was down far enough that he didn't quite see that the father and the daughter were walking along, and the daughter just sees the poor man's shoes. And she thinks, oh, what fun. Dad, what if we took the man's shoes and hid them? Wouldn't that be so much fun? And then he wouldn't know where they went. It'd be a fun prank. And the father said, well, that might be a little bit of fun for us, but it wouldn't be a lot of fun for him. I know something that would be even more fun for all of us. What if, instead of hiding the man's shoes, we hid inside the man's shoes a $20 bill in each one, and then hid ourselves and watched to see what happened? The daughter says, okay, well, let's try it. And the father takes out $20 and stuffs it in one shoe and takes out $20 and hands it to the daughter, and she stuffs it in the other shoe, and then they go and hide themselves behind the bushes and wait for the man to come up the bank to put his shoes on. After a little while, not too long, the man comes up the bank and goes to put his shoes on. He puts the first shoe on and feels something in there. He takes it off and reaches inside and sees a $20 bill. Looks around. Huh. Thanks. Stuffs it in his pocket. Then he goes to put his shoe back on and then puts the next shoe on and what's in there? Reaches in and another $20? And he just laughs at the joy and the surprise of having worked all day having his poor, tired feet, and now having someone see him and have compassion for his situation. And the daughter laughs with him, and the father does too. Jesus is the one who has compassion for us. And it's that compassion which enables him to see then the crowds, to not require them to have compassion first for him, but to see them first. Even when they don't understand what he's doing or his own needs, he sees them first. He understands their hunger. And when the disciples say, "We have a problem here, we need to send them away," Jesus says, "Yes, we have a problem here," but has had the compassion to know that there's something to do about it. See, the miracle of compassion, it's really the miracle of the incarnation. It's the miracle that before we could ever understand what God was up to in this world, that God first loved us, first had compassion for us, first had compassion for you. Even when you didn't know God, even when you didn't understand God, even when you didn't see God in your life, God saw you and found a space in God's divine heart to care about you. And that Jesus was made in flesh to demonstrate this act of compassion that continues to this day. Jesus makes his way, try to understand what you're feeling. Jesus has compassion for you, which is that he is actively working in those darkest, most hungry, most painful part of your lives to make a way forward when it seems like there is no way forward. For God makes a way out of no way. God makes the rough places a plain. God makes a way through the wilderness. God makes a way when everything else seems lost, when all other hopes have been tried and there is none remaining, and we come to God, finally, God makes a way. See, God is still making a way, still having compassion, still working for you. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.